19. Haggai 2, 10 through 19. Let's read. On the 24th of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests for a ruling. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy?" And the priest answered and said, "No." Then Haggai said, "If one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean?" And the priest answered and said, "It will become unclean." Then Haggai answered and said, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. And what they offer there is unclean. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to the grain heap of 20 measures, there would only be 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would only be 20. I smote you in every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come to me, declares the Lord. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider. Is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Yet from this day I will bless you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning asking that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, you lay out some hard things here in this chapter, and I pray that we would be able to receive them. And not just receive them, Lord, but apply them. I pray that your Spirit would move and work where I'm not able. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week I started Haggai again. I hadn't been in it for a year, and I wanted to go back to it. We know that COVID kind of interrupted that, and so I started it back. I went over a lot of history in a very short amount of time. I asked several people if they were able to keep up, and they said, it's kind of tough. So, really quick, once again, I'm not going to go over everything, but I'm going to give you the basis of what was going on. The people were taken into captivity. How long were they there? 70 years. They come back. They come back to the land of Jerusalem. And when they come back to the land of Jerusalem, they then begin to build the foundation of the temple. When they begin to build the foundation of the temple, what happens? Samaritans come against them, and they grow discouraged, right? And they quit. For 16 years, they don't do anything on the temple. Anything. Nothing. But they do some things for themselves, such as they built their own homes. They went back to their own ways. They wanted to get gain for themselves, to be self-sufficient for themselves, the whole while denying the work of the temple. And because of this, it rendered them unclean. Yes. The reason why it rendered them unclean, because the temple was unfinished. And an unfinished temple was as a dead body before the people and before the Lord. It rendered them unclean. And so the Lord here prophesies or speaks to Haggai to prophesy to the people in verse 10. And in verse 10, it starts the ninth month of Haggai's prophecies. He started in the sixth month. He prophesied in the sixth month. He prophesied in the seventh month. And he skipped the eighth month. And he gives us two in the ninth month. What's interesting about this passage of Scripture, that between the ninth month and the seventh month, there is another prophet that begins to speak. That is Zechariah. Turn one page over and I want to read it to you. One page over. The book of Zechariah in chapter 1, this was Haggai's contemporary. He was prophesying at the same time that Haggai was. His message was very similar, but as you go through the book of Zechariah, it gets a lot harder. But for the first part of the lesson, or the prophecy of Zechariah, we see where it fits in quite nicely between month 7 and month 9. Listen to what it says here in chapter 1, verse 1. The title is a call to repentance. This is exactly what Haggai had been ministering to concerning the people of Israel. It was a call to repentance. Listen to what it says. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. This places Zechariah in this prophecy right after the third message, or the end of the second message of Haggai. You follow? Everybody follow? Clear as mud yet? Okay. All right. So Haggai prophesies in chapter 2, and he prophesies there in verse 1. Look at Haggai chapter 2 and verse 1, because we got to get the setting right. These minor prophets are not easy, guys. David and I were talking about it this morning. He was in the major prophets, and there's four of them going at the same time. This is not easy. Listen to what it says in Haggai chapter 2 there. Verse 1. On the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying. That's what we went over last week. This was the seventh month. Then we see Zechariah come in, and he proceeds to bring this prophecy in the eighth month. So a period of time had surpassed here, had passed by, and now we see in verse 10, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, on the 24th of the ninth month. So Haggai preaches these sermons, and then Zechariah comes, and he's going to piggyback on those sermons as well, and it's a message of repentance. Listen to what it says in Zechariah in verse 1. And I'm saying all this for y'all to just write it down and to look at it. And trust me in this, because there's a lot of study and preparation that goes into to lining out these when they done what. And so listen to what it says in verse 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, saying, the Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, repent or return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Sounds an awful lot like what Haggai is telling them. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, return now from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not listen or give heed to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your fathers? It says, then they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to do to us in accordance with our ways and our deeds, so he has dealt with us. Turn back to the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 10, and let's get started. I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about. It says, On the 24th of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying. So here it is, it's December. The last month of Haggai's prophetic ministry. 4 months after he had started and 1 month after Zechariah had prophesied. And he speaks, and this is what he says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. Ask now the priest for a ruling. If you got a pen, you'll want to underline that word ruling there, because it's a significant word. What Haggai is saying is he is telling the priest to go back to the Old Testament law. Go back to the Torah. The word ruling right here means Torah. It is concerning the law. Haggai is wanting them to answer the questions that he's fixing to lay out, and he's wanting them to answer them so the people could hear it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. The Lord tells Haggai the prophet to ask the priest for an answer concerning the law. He says, if a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with his fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. The question is, can something that is holy make clean something that is not holy? And we know the answer to that is absolutely not. It's like if you are holy, can you make someone else wicked that's wicked? Can you make that person holy? Well, you can't do it just by being around them. If I'm holy and you're not, just by me being around you, I can't make you holy. You're going to continue to be wicked. Then he goes on to prove another point. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, any of what? What he says in verse 12. What did he say in verse 12? Cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food. If anyone from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priest answered and said, it will become unclean. And so according to the Lord and according to the law of the Old Testament, it would become unclean. This is what the book of Leviticus teaches us. If you touch something dead, which is unclean, then you also then become what? Unclean, right? And so they say yes to this answer. These were very easy rulings concerning the law of God out of the book of Leviticus. The prophet puts forth these questions, and you need to write this down. The reason why he puts forth these questions to the priests is for them to answer so that they could see what Jerusalem had become. I'm not talking about the town, I'm talking about the people. What the people, the children of Israel, what they had become. Because now, after he gives both of these questions, now he's fixing to apply it in verse 14. What was the verdict of these questions? Holiness is not contagious, according to the law. But impurity is contagious, according to the law. Y'all get it? Holiness is not contagious, but impurity is contagious, according to the law. Can you get sick from a sick person? You better believe it. My whole house went down with a virus. And it was bad. Guys, that was the worst thing I've ever experienced as far as a virus. That was terrible. Our whole house went down with it. And it passed from one to the other, to the other, to the other, until it got to me last, and then we were done. So we see that uncleanliness will pass. And this was the ruling. The ruling that Haggai was trying to get them to see. Verse 14. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. And what they offer there is unclean. The Lord wanted to bless the people. And in time, by the end of this lesson, we will see where he does. He wanted to, and he does later. However, just because they were living in the Holy Land, just because they offered sacrifices unto the Lord, it did not make them holy as long as the temple remained unbuilt. Amen. I'm going to read that again to you because I want you to catch it. And this is what he's talking about. The temple was still unbuilt. They had started, yes. But they had a lot of work to do, and as long as it was unbuilt, the people were unclean. Listen to what it says. Just because they were living in the Holy Land, and just because they offered sacrifices unto the Lord, did not make them holy as long as the temple remained unbuilt. As long as the temple remained unbuilt and as long as they neglected the house of the Lord, they themselves remained unclean. Haggai comes and he is speaking this message to them. And the message that he is speaking is very simply put, it is a message of proper priorities. You ever get your priorities out of whack? Please, somebody testify this morning. It's easy to do, isn't it? The message that is being conveyed by these two questions is simply this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What happened? Go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, and you will see that. Right there in verse 6, you see it. You have sown much, but you harvest little. And then from then all the way to verse 11, you see where they had put the work of the Lord on the back burner for their own pleasures. How does this apply to us? Very much the same. And this really, really convicted me. Just because we come to church, just because we give our tithes, or show up, or sing and listen, or even serve, or work our fingers to the bone, if we are not right with God in our hearts, it's pointless and it's unclean. Plain and simple. It is pointless and it's unclean. The scripture teaches us that we are the temple of the living God, that he dwells within us. And if we can't get the main point, then everything else is unclean. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Just because the people had made it back to the Holy Land, the Promised Land, just because they made it back, it did not make them holy. As long as the temple laid in decaying ruins, like a dead skeleton, the people remained completely unclean. Plain and simple. We got to get it right. Have to. If your heart, my heart, if it is contaminated with sin, then our sacrifices, our work for the Lord is contaminated as well. This is Christianity 101. Purge out the old leaven and serve the Lord. I want to give you a very grotesque example, and I want you to listen to me. I saw a dead body the other day. Body had been dead for almost 3 weeks. Mike and Deborah and Mackenzie were there. The smell from what was left that shrouded the bones was so horrendous that I had to walk behind Champlin's store over to the air conditioner units, where I gagged multiple times. I was sick. Respirators had to be used to go in and to retrieve what was left of the body. The place where the body was carried through, probably a 30-yard path from the house to where it entered a vehicle, it smelled so bad on that path that as soon as I walked through where the body had been carried, I smelled it. Death lingered. It was terrible. And I've been waiting for the Lord to use this example, because everything that happens to me as a pastor, I see as a teaching moment. And I sat there that night over there with Deborah and Mike and Mackenzie. And it grieved my heart. It made me sick to my stomach. And for several days it affected me and what I ate. It was terrible. I couldn't get it out of my lungs. I couldn't get it out of my nose. I couldn't get it out of my mouth. It was so bad. And this is the example that I gleaned from that situation. If our heart's priority is not the Lord first, if our heart's priority is not pushing away sin and cleaving to the righteousness of the Lord God, then our works and service for Him are as bad and even worse than the smell of that rotting corpse if we don't seek Him first. We can offer up what we want to offer up, but if our hearts and our priority is not the Lord Jesus Christ and He having the preeminence in our life, it is all for naught. For naught. I can't describe to you how grossed out I was by what I saw. And if that's any indication of how the Lord sees our righteousness that we try to lift up, that's filthy rags, shame on us. Yes. He wants to be first. Amen. Not third, not fourth, not tenth, or somewhere down the line that we fit in for an hour a week. He wants to be first. I want you to remember that example that I gave you this morning. Because as I remembered it and as the Lord began to apply this to my life, it began to break my heart of the things that I've offered up that shouldn't have been. It means that the message I preach, the songs you sing, the work we do for the Lord, it stinks before Him if our hearts are not set on Him and His kingdom work first. This is a very, very hard message to hear. Haggai is telling the people, he is reproving them, and he is telling them that the Lord must be first, and that their sanctification by that, through Jesus Christ, is absolutely the utmost importance. How dare us place a holy God in sixth place? He is jealous for our worship and for our adoration. Yes, amen. The whole book of Colossians was given so that we can see that He deserves first in rank and order. This is what Haggai is telling the people. He is telling them, how dare you leave off and build your houses? How dare you do these things when the temple is in ruins like a rotting corpse? Yes. How dare you? Let's move on. Verse 14. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Why was it unclean? Because the temple wasn't built. 15. But now, do consider from this day onward, and this is what he's fixing to do. He's fixing to tell them, from this day onward, go back in time and remember what I've done to you, so that it will serve you in the future and in days to come. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord. Go back those several years when y'all first came back over
When you first came back over and then you left off the work, go back to there. He says, go back there. And says, from that time, when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would be only 10. And when one came to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would be only 20. And then he says in 17, I smote you in every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come to me, declares the Lord. The Lord says, go back. Go back to that time when the foundations were laid and then you left off work. What happened? What happened in your life when you began the work and then left off from it? And I ask the same question today. What happened in your life when you began the work of the Lord in your life and then you left off from it? I'll tell you what happened. Listen to what it says in verse 6 in chapter 1. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. That's like me earning a dollar and putting it into a pocket that doesn't have a bottom. Just falls out on the ground. Listen to what it says in verse 9. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house, which lies desolate, while each one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew and the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and all the labor of your hands. Haggai tells the people, go back and remember that day when the Lord struck y'all for not working for him. For not putting him first. What did you have? You had nothing. He says, go remember that day and let it serve you for the present and for the future. And truly, if we would go back to the days where we begin to serve the Lord and then quit, if we would go back and remember those days, as Haggai is telling us here, and we would see how worthless our life seemed, how fruitless our life was, how peaceless our life was, how joyless our life was. If we would go back to those situations and look at those times, it would serve us greatly in the present time, and it would serve us greatly in the future, because we would be able to see that sin separates us from a holy God.
Yes, amen.
And it would encourage us to do right in the present and for the future. The Lord tells them, as you move forward, consider what I caused to happen to the works of your hands in the past. Let my judgment, he's saying, let my judgment in the past serve as a reminder that you are to seek me first now and in the future. The Lord wants the people to remember his judgment. And he wants it to be a reminder for their blessings in the present and in the future moving on.
Yes. Amen.
But so often we forget.
Yes.
We forget how bad it was when we weren't serving the Lord. And we don't move with him. He wants to be first. First in our life. Let's move on. That's through 17. Let's look at verse 18, 19. Then he says this. Do consider from this day onward. They hadn't planted yet. It was not planting season. Their barns were empty. It wasn't planting season. But because they had turned and were going towards the Lord, you saw that in the book of Zechariah in chapter 1,
where they repented and they were turning towards the Lord. And because of this, blessings were about to flow. Blessings of which they had never seen before, because the work of the Lord had begun again. Listen to what it says. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded. Consider. Is the seed still in the barn? And the question was no. Everything had been spent up. Everything had been used up. Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree. It says, it has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. This is prophetic. The Lord says, because of this has happened, because you have turned to me, you don't have anything right now, but I am fixing to bless you like you've never seen. Lord tells them to consider again. He sees that their hearts had turned and promises that even though their barns were empty and all was used up, he would bless them and their crops because of their turning to him. And he tells them to remember this day, just as he told them to remember when they were not blessed, when they turned away from him. He tells them here to remember this day. Because from this day forward, when this blessing comes to pass, you're going to look back and say, oh, the Lord told us that that would happen. If we would just turn to him and if we just trusted in him, oh, wait a second, all of the blessings would then flow. He tells them to mark it down on your calendar. Remember the day that you turned. I will bless you. I remember the day, you know, I was saved at a young age, no doubt, but for 12 years, I just was kind of like one of those clouds out there just kind of floating around. I wasn't discipled, didn't really read my Bible all that much. I did, but didn't really understand it. Reading out of a King James Bible, didn't understand it. I was just like, Lord, please help me understand this Bible. I don't understand it, but I'm going to read it anyways because I'm told to. I would pray, I would sing, but for the most part, I really wasn't serving him all that. And especially as I got older into my early adulthood, and I really wasn't serving him. Then I remember one day completely surrendering to him. I hit my knees in my room, and I've told you this before. I wasn't married. Had a lot of sour relationships. And I just wanted to serve the Lord. And I wanted to be married. I wanted a wife and I wanted a family. And what it boiled down to is I wanted the Lord's blessings. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. I hit my knees in my bedroom by myself. Berber carpet. I had on a pair of shorts. And it hurt. The Berber carpet hurt so bad. I remember praying on it. And it just like eat your knees up. And I remember hitting my knees and my face before the Lord, sobbing my eyes out, repenting, and asking the Lord to forgive me. I knew I was saved, but yet I had wandered away. Like the children of Israel, I had spent 12 years not following him. 12. I can remember putting my face on the floor, my nose running, my eyes watering, and just simply asking the Lord to forgive me. And he did. It wasn't long after that about a month later, I met Casey. Now, he didn't bless my heart and bless me with all these different things that I had that came into my life instantaneously. But over the course of time, he brought Casey Merle to me. And then after we got married, he brought
animal to me 10 and a half months later. And then a couple of years after that, he brought Selah to me. He blessed my finances. He blessed the things that I put my hands to. He blessed my heart with peace that passes all understanding. He blessed me with joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He blessed me with hope that was anchored in Jesus. He blessed me with all of these different things. And just as Haggai tells them to mark it down and to write it down, from this day forward I will bless you because you've turned to me. I can remember the day that my sanctification and my Lord took first place again in my life. I can remember it. I marked it down in my mind. And when I marked it down in my mind, I'll never forget it. Because from that day forward, the Lord has blessed me. He's poured out a measure of blessing that I cannot contain. And if we would just stop and consider where we came from to where we are now and where He's taken us, I know it'll bless your heart as well. This morning I want you to see very simply, very simply, where have you fallen short? Don't tell me that Christians don't fall short, because I know good and well that they do, because I have. Where have you fallen short in your priorities? Examine your life. Are your works stinky? Kind of a cheesy word. Are your works rotten before the Lord? Or does He have the preeminence? Is He first in rank and order? The whole book of Haggai is about proper priorities. What are your priorities? Some of you may be wishing that I would shut up. Some of you may be wishing that you would just get to the next weekend and wouldn't have to face this weekend. My question to you today is, what are your priorities? Is the Lord first? If He is not, as Christians, repent and move on. Place Him first in your life. Declare a redo, a start over, if you will. Declare Him first in your life. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. Let's pray.